listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Take your Bibles. We're going to go into a very significant portion, Hebrews chapter 7. But I do want to say, leading into this, that obviously our participation in the Lord's Supper, in the communion, brought us back to what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. It was a work that he completed in the plan of the Father, which began before the ages of time even. And so today, what I want to do is I want us to fast forward from 2,000 years ago to this moment in time and ask you the question, what is Jesus doing today? Well, of course, he's bringing people into relationship with the Father by his work on the cross. But is that all that Jesus is doing? I want you to take a look at Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 23. I will read out of the English Standard Version. And here's how it's put. The former priests, who is that? That is making reference to the priests in the household of Israel. They had their duties, they had their responsibilities, but the writer to Hebrews says this, the former priests, who were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in the office. Makes common sense. They were human beings. They died as any one of us would die, a normal death. And so they could not continue on an eternal basis to fulfill their priesthood. So it says, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he, speaking of Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently, because he continued forever. How many are clear on the picture Jesus rose from the grave? He's alive. He's alive today. He will be alive forevermore. Consequently, he, Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost. And we've seen and experienced that in our personal lives. He saves to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. Since he always lives, and this is the word I want to key in on this morning, since he always lives to make intercession, say intercession, he makes intercession for them, for us. The scripture here assures us that Jesus himself is praying for us this very minute. Think about it. Right now, as you sit in this room, Jesus is interceding on your behalf before the Father, because he knows you have needs. Not only does Jesus save us, but he also lives to intercede for us. He pleads our case before the Father. He pled our case yesterday. He pleads our case today. And he will continue to plead our case before the Father tomorrow as well. And this, church, is awesome stuff. Keep in mind, Jesus saved you. He redeemed you. He cleansed you. But he didn't leave you to yourself. He is continually bringing you up before the Father. The word intercede includes the sense of pleading. Jesus, I want you to know, is continually and persuasively presenting you before the Father. So before you ever kneel down to pour out your heart to God, keep in mind your Savior has already called out to the Father on your behalf. Even before you ask, He knows what you need. Why? Because He is with you all the time. He's in your life all the time. He knows exactly what your issues are, what your needs are. And much of the book of Hebrews focuses on the uniqueness of Christ. And among His special roles is the position of being high priest. I referenced the fact that in the household of Israel, priests existed, and their role was to bring understanding and to bring man, the Israelites, into relationship with God to their limited ability. But Jesus came, and He came to be the eternal high priest. By eternal, I mean forever. And He is the only high priest that we need. He's the one that brings us into fellowship with God. Throughout the history of Israel, priests were crucial. They were crucial intercessors between God and His people. But the Bible says, where we read this morning, these priests, always as human, they could only do so much. And only Christ became the priest who could do perfectly what every other priest could not, what they could do only in part. Now, one of the pictures of Christ in the Gospels occurs at the Last Supper. In John chapter 17, that is the passage of Scripture that is offering to us what is commonly known as Jesus' high priestly prayer. We're given a good idea to how He intercedes for us. How does He do that? Not only did He pray for the disciples who were with Him, but in that passage of Scripture, John chapter 17, He also prays for every Christ follower to come, and that would be you and me. Aren't you grateful? He's praying for us. You see, before Jesus returned to the Father, and long before we were ever born, Jesus was interceding. You want a scripture verse, a chapter and verse? John chapter 17, verse number 20, tells you that. If you could hear the Lord praying for you nearby, if you could hear Him, I'm here to tell you, you would not fear 1,000 enemies. Your confidence in Christ would be ratcheted up 100-fold. So right now, think of Jesus on the right hand of the Father lifting you up and your needs to Him, because He knows your situations exactly. He knows your needs. Jesus knows your weaknesses. He knows your fears. He knows what you are facing and what is at stake. I want to remind you this morning and remember the words of Jesus before Peter's biggest failure. How many remember what have been Peter's biggest failure? Jesus told him at that table where they ate the Last Supper together, Jesus told Peter that He would deny Him. Peter said, "No way, Jose, this is not going to happen. I've got your back, Jesus." And Jesus says, no, it's not going to work that way. You're going to deny me three times. And when the rooster crows, it'll be a reminder to you of this event. Not only did Peter do that, that is, deny the Lord, but the whole weight of his denial came down on him. And the Bible says he wept and he went out from the court of Caiaphas. Keeping this in mind, that was Peter's biggest failure in life. But I want you to see what Jesus did after that failure in Peter's life. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. Here's what Jesus says to Peter. But I have prayed for you. How many think that's pretty special to have Jesus praying for you? Jesus says, Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. In other words, when you get your act together, realize you're going to be powerful. And by the way, tradition says that Peter, like Jesus, was crucified for his faith. But Peter would not concede to being crucified in a manner like Jesus. He requested that he be crucified upside down. So tradition says that Peter suffered. But the game changer was this prayer of Jesus in his life. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if Jesus prays for Peter, John 17 says he prays for us as well. Jesus doesn't let your inevitable stumbles and falls keep you from him praying for you. So don't let your failures keep you from him. Here's what I want to leave with you before we leave and go. What does Jesus' intercession look like for you? I'm going to give you some bullet points right here. And I want you to take them. They're written down in the notes that you received when you came to this place this morning. Here's what I want you to remember. Jesus knows your situation even before you bring it up. Can you understand that? Jesus knows your dilemma. He knows your predicament. He knows the situation that you find yourself in. Number two, his intercession, his interceding, his pleading on your behalf to the Father is both day and night. Day and night, Jesus is interceding on your behalf. Thirdly, he knows your weakness. He knows your fears and what's at stake. If he knew that about Peter, he knows that about you as well. Next, he is preventing, and this is huge, Jesus is preventing Satan from devouring you. How many are grateful for that kind of protection in your life? Bible says that the enemy of our soul is like a roaring lion. His game is to rip us apart. The Bible says of Satan, his role on the planet is to destroy, to kill. Jesus prevents him from doing that to us. That's got to be worth something. Okay? And finally, lean into him this morning and don't let your past failures keep you from trusting him in your life. Just lean into Jesus. This whole service has been one of leaning into him. And keep in mind that if you could hear the Lord praying for you today, you would not fear those 1,000 enemies. So what is it that you want Jesus to take up to the Father on your behalf this morning? And what are some of the ways that your own prayer life would change if you realize that Jesus was pleading your case each and every day? In fact, praying together with you. I want you to leave this place fully understanding that the work of Jesus in your life is absolutely perfect and complete. I mean it. It's perfect and complete. Stand to your feet with me. What a day. What a day in the presence of Jesus. We have a prayer team here that would want to pray with you and encourage you in your walk with Jesus. So avail yourself to them at the conclusion of the service. But I do want to lift up your life right now. So I want you to just lift your hands with me and let's believe today that this one that we've honored from the first minute that we gathered to this moment in time is here. To stand with you. Jesus, we lift our hearts to you. We lift our hands to you. We thank you today for what we've experienced, not only in our hearts, but in your word as well, because it's given us confidence that you have never left us nor forsaken us. And today we completely and impeccably want to trust you with our lives. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for intercession. Thank you for the cross, and thank you for the blood, because we're different because of it. And we just want to say thank you, Jesus, for your complete and perfect sacrifice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many are glad you came to this place today? How many are grateful for the presence of the Lord? Now, here's what I want you to do. Believe me, this is so important, church. What we receive from the Lord is not to be kept to ourselves. It's to be shared. Jesus has transformed you, changed you, done some work, and stirred up your life. Go tell somebody about it. And be like Andrew. Who's Andrew? Well, Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist, had a heart after God. But when he heard the Messiah was around, he started following Jesus. Andrew was the guy that introduced his brother to Jesus. His brother was Simon Peter. And you know the rest of the story. Peter became one of Jesus' great apostles. Share your faith. Introduce people to Jesus. Bring them with you to the house of God. And let's begin to see a revolution for Jesus in Grace Harbor. Amen? God bless you. Go in the grace and strength of the Lord. If you would like to sign up for that New Life Principles class, the sign up is in the foyer. I encourage you to do that. God bless you. Go in the grace and the goodness of our God.
You're listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at CornerstoneAberdeen.com.